Hey everybody, it's LogicBomb82 from the Mature Minded Gamers. We are a group of adult gamers who have jobs and lives, but also several passions, including video gaming and board gaming. And today we're going to bring you our board game podcast. So grab those dice and get ready to roll.
Hello everybody, Will here from Mature Minded Gamers, Board Games and Review, and today we're going to be talking about Battlestar Galactica. Battlestar Galactica is a 3-6 player sci-fi deduction bluffing game that takes about 2 to 3 hours to complete, originally released in 2008 by Fantasy Flight Games and designed by Corey Knizia. It is important to note that this review is based on a game that is over 10 years old and is long out of print. It is also important to note that we're reviewing just the base game with no expansions. Battlestar Galactica is set in a science fiction world made popular by several television series slash reboots. Players are trying to defend a giant spaceship called the Galactica while it is trying to make its way to Earth. During the journey, you will be moving around Galactica, doing actions and dealing with various crisis events. Beware though, not everyone is trying to get the Galactica to Earth. Some may be Cylons or sympathetic to them. They are trying to subtly sabotage the team efforts and passing crisis events. Even if the player is suspected and all players agree it is not over yet, the Cylon must announce themselves as such and move to the Cylon command ship, unlocking new actions only available to them. During setup, you create a deck of loyalty cards. The deck is composed of you are not a Cylon, you are a Cylon, and possibly you are a sympathizer. The amount of each is dependent on the number of players. At the beginning of the game, each player is secretly dealt one loyalty card. Players are to keep this identity hidden, and only the Cylons can reveal themselves, if they choose. Doing so too early will not allow you to subtly create distrust and deplete precious resources for the human players. On the Galactica, you have four of these important resources: food, fuel, morale, and population. Each of these, in and amongst themselves, are more a way to create variation in the crisis events you will deal with. None specifically have positives or negatives based on the current value, but if any of them were to reach zero, then the Cylons win. Crisis events are one of the main ways resources are decreased and rarely increased. Some of these cards have specific tests that must be passed by the crew. Tests are simple to understand. You are given a target number your crew must meet and a variety of colors to meet it in. The kicker is that colors donated to the resource pile that are not on the card actually hurt the final value and is the main way for a hidden Cylon to sabotage the ship. Skill cards are the way players attempt to pass crisis events, but they also provide unique powers to help in keeping the Galactica flying. At the beginning of your turn, you will be drawing a certain number of cards from a set number of skills your character has. If your character doesn't have the printed skills, then you simply can't gain those in that step. From leadership, political, pilot, tactical, and engineer, each card has also a printed value that is used in calculation in the crisis phase. After you have drawn your skill cards, you move your character anywhere in the Galactica and perform one action, either from a skill card that says action or the actions listed on your current location. These actions will help you complete tasks or ward off enemy ships such as Base Stars, Cylon Capital Ships, or Cylon Raiders or Heavy Cylon Raiders. These enemy ships are typically played on the board when a crisis event deploys them. You are not defenseless though. You also have several Vipers ready in a launching bay that you will deploy to defend your home, biding time for the Galactica to hit FTL. Faster than light travel, or FTL, is the way the humans win. At the bottom of some crisis cards, a star symbol may appear. If it does, then you move an FTL marker along a track. Move it enough times and the Galactica will jump, moving all enemies and civilian ships traveling with you off the board, essentially clearing all threat. You could even jump earlier, but the sooner you do, the more population you risk from the fleet not being as prepared. Once you jump, the Admiral draws two destiny cards and chooses one. These cards have requirements that must be fulfilled, such as fuel loss, morale, etc. Also, they have a numerical value. Once the humans reach 8 total distance and jump one more time, they win. When the Galactica has traveled 4 distance, all players are then given another loyalty card. You may not have been a Cylon in the beginning, but you are now. This doesn't replace your old card, just adds to it. Meaning, if you were a Cylon and the second card says you are not, you are still a Cylon. There are two more roles to discuss, Admiral and President. Being the Admiral of the fleet lets you make some important decisions, like where we're going, how far. The President lets you, for an action, draw a quorum card, giving the President unique and helpful actions during the game. Also, some crisis events make the Admiral or President decide on actions to take or change titles with other players. Having recently brought this one back to the table after several years of no activity, I found myself reminded of past plays and fond memories. Being accused of being a Cylon by another player, heated yelling matches over loyalties, accusations flying, players attempting to throw others into the brig. I remember those times fondly and regard them as some of my fondest gaming memories of past fails and triumphs. So we got a chance to play this at a recent gathering we had. I have with me here Eric and Ryan.
Hey.
Hello.
We had a 5-player game going on with myself as well as two others that aren't on the podcast tonight. Ryan, what did you think of Battlestar Galactica? This is your first time playing, correct?
Yeah, it was an interesting game. We had a good time. It was a nice mix of sort of strategy and social deduction. I'm 100% unfamiliar with the Battlestar Galactica theme or setting or series or anything like that. So that was nice that did not hinder or help my understanding of the game at all. In the end, it was a good time. The mechanics were quick to learn. While I didn't understand the whole Cylon aspect of it right away, it worked out.
One of the things you had mentioned where we're playing is, isn't this supposed to get harder? Did you feel like the game was just too easy?
Well, okay. So I was the Cylon. So what I was trying to do, or the goals for me in that game, were different than obviously the goals for the rest of the ship. I made that comment when we were playing because it was sort of, I didn't have to do much as the Cylon. And every time I did try to do something, you guys immediately saw through it anyway. I was kind of trying to goad the group a little bit to maybe continue to not put as many things in. The way that the cards are rigged up, there's enough randomness and the goals that you have to hit are high enough that if there's two bad cards in the Destiny deck or even one bad card in the Destiny deck and Eric continues to hold his cards instead of playing them, you guys would lose without me doing anything. So I just wanted to keep people from putting cards in. So I was sort of playing up the side that the game wasn't hard right away, but I there's enough random elements to that that I imagine every time you play it, it's a different level of difficulty.
What did you think about it, Eric?
This would be my second or third time playing it, I believe, and I've watched the whole series, so I always have the nostalgia feel for the characters. And you know, we were just talking about the show as we were playing, and it was a good moment on a couple occasions where somebody would bring something up like, "Oh, this actually happened on the show," and we're like, "Oh yeah, it did." It was really good. The game's fun. It can get a little slow in certain parts where you're waiting on other people to make their decisions and trying to figure out, you know, who's who and what's going on. But overall, I really enjoyed it. And I think every time we played it, we've had a pretty good Cylon and Sympathizer. And it seemed to play out really well. I kind of knew it was Ryan early on, but nobody else really bought into it. And I wasn't 100% sure either. So I didn't know if it was just Ryan, you know, not really knowing how to play. And Ryan's got a pretty good fake. So I thought maybe he was playing off himself, you know, not knowing how to play. But he ended up, you know, sinking our ship by making us warp early and kind of gave himself away. But it was a little too late for us at that point. Well, what's your favorite parts of this game, Will?
So I do enjoy the random events that happen at the end of every game. I like the fact that as the Cylon player or, you know, even a sympathizer, you're trying to work against the good of the group while not letting go your hand and showing your true colors. I like how that kind of plays in together. What I don't like about it is I feel like those objectives are just a little bit too damn hard to hit, especially with the card values that you have, the ones, twos, and threes as the majority of the numbers. And some of the objectives are 15, 16 cards. I mean, really, on the lower play count, it's almost nigh impossible to pass some of those missions. And it's just like, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. And that's the one hang up I have on this game, is it really feels like you're either going to smash the objective and you know, and definitely beat it, or it's not even going to be close. I feel like the Cylon player really can throw a card or two in there and make a difference. It's either just going to be completely crushed or completely missed. And that's the one hang up I had about it. The crises themselves aren't varied enough, besides, you know, you have that, oh, you need to play this color and this is what's going to happen, or you're going to have ships come in. And I really feel like I wish there was a little bit more variation. Hey, you know what? Maybe some of the expansions add that, but just as of the base game stands, it's fun, but just know you're not going to have a lot of craziness happening until really the conversations start to flow. Now, the way that I can really show the sign of how engaged the players are is who breaks out their phone while we're playing. And Eric, I got to say, you busted out your phone a couple times. It's not to say that, you know, you weren't engaged fully into the game and what was going on. That just kind of shows me that there's not enough player interaction during everybody's turn.
Well, let's not forget the fact that I was Carl Aganathan, or whatever, however you say his last name. And so I didn't even play the first round, which was another big suck for me. I don't know why they gave that character's ability. I get he wasn't in the first season, and that was kind of a cool moment to think, oh yeah, man, as a game mechanic, it was boring for me. And that's another thing that I didn't like about the game is it's really hard to plan ahead of what you're going to do. You basically, you every turn, it depends on what the scenario is or what you're, what problem you're trying to solve, basically. There was very little need for us to move around the ship most of the time. It was always just, oh, well, I guess we can go here and get some cards, or we're just going to wait here and shoot off some fighters. I feel like the whole Cylon ship mechanism, it's there, and I understand why, and it adds a little bit to the game, but I think it needs to be redefined a little bit better to make it a little more interactive and a little more of a threat.
I would agree with that 100%. Almost like you need to roll that die every time to find out if they move or they shoot. It took forever for them they never once did any damage to the ship. They never once tried to board. They never once actually shot anything. So all the damage that was done to us either from the events or from jumping early. So I agree. I think that's where, that was one of the issues that I, as the Cylon waiting for them to do something, they never really did anything. They just sort of sat there.
You had both the Cylon cards, correct?
Yeah. I was double Cylon, which kind of was also not great for me, because I would have loved somebody with a little bit more experience to be able to help out and sort of point in a direction, or at least be throwing other cards in.
The fact that you won is really impressive. Your first game, you were the only Cylon, and we were one jump away, like one turn away from winning, I think, right? Or two turns, maybe?
We had done our eighth jump, and we had to do the next one. But, I mean, by that point, we were on our last leg.
But you still got us, so. Well, actually, was it a card that got that finished us off? I can't remember how it went down at the very end. I know you force jumped us once. We lost two population, I think.
Yeah.
And then somehow we lost the rest and we died. I can't remember if it was from you jumping again or the card we got. I think you were over on the Cylon side at that point.
I was.
Or no, it was the destination card.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the issue was more along, and that destination was the eighth jump. We still had to do one jump after that one. But the reason why you guys lost, in my opinion, is once you guys knew I was the Cylon, you started playing way more resources, either to lock up Will or to lock me up.
Even though I wasn't the Cylon.
Right. But you spent so many resources trying to do those things that when you needed resources to save different aspects or to hit goals, you didn't have the collars anymore.
I would agree with that. I mean, that comes into the play of the game as far as like really got to know who the Cylons are. So when you do decide, hey, we need to lock this person up, it shouldn't be just accusations flying. It should be, hey, you know, there is specific proof that we have that this person is the Cylon. That you guys had locked me up in the brig just because, yeah, I don't know, you guys wanted to. I'm not sure. But I ended up being completely human.
I think in the end, if I was to play the game again, if I was to replay that exact game, I think just claiming to be Cylon earlier really would have helped out in the end, because you get the five damage tokens or whatever bonus you get as a, you know, proclaiming yourself a Cylon rather than getting caught and losing that particular side of the game. Once you get over to the Cylon side, it's fine too, but it ends up being a bit of a race. And I think there's not enough of a drawback to claiming you're a Cylon, because once you're away from the ship, people can't vote me into the brig, and you still get cards. In fact, you get to pick what cards you want. So I don't know. If I was to play it again, I might go one round and just announce that I was a Cylon, so I have those other powers and can be more actively against the rest of the team.
Yeah, but one of the things you did, though, if I'm not mistaken, didn't you have us jump early?
I did. I tried to do it twice, but I failed.
Right.
The first time I did it, I had Brad do it or whatever. He rolled and we didn't lose any population. So, but that did encourage us to get, I gave us the confidence for me to be able to jump in there and do it again without getting in too much trouble.
Well, I think that's where the nuances come into play for it. What'd you think of the game components? Did you feel like there was a lot going on? Do you feel like the board was too busy? Not enough? Was it, do you feel like it was just right?
I didn't mind that. The materials were fine. It clearly communicated what was happening, and it gave you a nice little theater of the mind to sort of play at and visualize going from one room to the next and the ships coming around and so on and so forth. There was enough information at the top that you could follow along. It was, the little spinny dials and things were nice, a nice touch, and when it turned red, you knew it was important and so on and so forth.
What did you think about the components, Eric?
I thought they were good. I really liked the board and the little dials up top. That's kind of a neat feature you don't see in a lot of games. The miniatures are fine. You can remember this game's what, 2008? This is an earlier, a big box board game, I guess is what I call it, with heavy components and lots of pieces and stuff. So I think this was early on when they were still kind of trying to figure out the quality that people would pay for and everything like that. You don't normally, at least in my opinion, you don't normally see high, super high quality board games from then as you do these days.
The one thing I would have liked to have seen is like a index for what ships were called what, because it took me forever to figure out which ones were the Ravagers. And every time we lost a Ravager, I thought it was the small ship or whatever. But that's the only thing about components that I was a little thrown off about.
You're talking about the Raiders and the fact that you didn't know which ones were which.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Oh, yeah, no. If you haven't seen the show, I mean, that's kind of with almost anything that's thematic like that. As far as for me, the component quality was back in 2008. I mean, this game was fantastic. I mean, the components were awesome. The little Cylon Raiders, the base stars, you have the Vipers. I just thought it was so much fun to move those pieces around and everything. You know, but you got to think that was, you know, that was 11 years ago. You know, well, now 2020, 12 years ago when this game was first released. And this was like you were saying, was one of the first big box games that for me really introduced me to board games, really kind of got me into it. Not the game, but one of the first games. And I really loved playing this with you guys back in the day. It's lost some of that luster for me over the past couple of years. Hell, I haven't brought it out to the table in the past 5-6 years. It's been that long since I played it. And so gameplay wise though, Eric, do you think it stood up?
Oh yeah. I loved deception games where there's a hidden rule. And so those really are always usually really fun for me. You know, you have to have the right people to play with. And I thought our crew did a really good job with it. Some people can't do hidden roll very well, and that could definitely ruin a game. And you'd hate for that to happen on a 2 to 3 hour game session where it's kind of spoiled by bad role playing and, you know, giving away who it is real quick. And it kind of ends the game prematurely, which is kind of a suck. But as long as you have the right crew, I think this is going to be a fun game. And if you've watched the show, it's going to be even more fun because you know the characters and, you know all the background that really goes with it. It's a great themed game that I would recommend to any Battlestar Galactic fan.
Ryan, as a newbie player, this first game, did you feel like the game was pretty easy to pick up?
Oh, yeah. And that was probably one of the draws to it, or one of the reasons why I think I was able to have so much fun, because once I understood the mechanic of dropping in cards and sort of canceling and that sort of thing, it worked out pretty well. The color cards, the color of what was a success and a negative, that was a little bit tricky at first. But other than that, everything was pretty straightforward.
I looked at the price on this. And it must not have made new production, because it was $250 to buy a copy of this game.
So this game is long out of print. If you are a Battlestar Galactica fan, expect to pay $100 plus for the core game and at least $200 for each of the expansions. This game is a very popular game. You might be able to get one on a swap meet or some sort of Board Game Geek exchange. Be sure to check out the game though if you are a fan of Battlestar Galactica, if you have a friend that owns a copy. This one, I definitely think, should be played by everyone. The fun factor for me is a 4 out of 5. Replay value, 4 out of 5. Easy to learn, a 4 out of 5. But components, for 12 years old, 3 out of 5 for me. So that gives me us a 15 out of 20 for Battlestar Galactica by Fantasy Flight Games.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to our podcast. You can check out all of our content on maturemindedgamers.com.